The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I am sorry. I'm just reading some of the news today, and some of it I just, it cannot, absolutely cannot be true. Disney is debuting its first boy princess with chest hair to teach a powerful lesson about gender bias. Okay, why not? Why not? I mean, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday in San Francisco. Kate Steinle's murderer has been declared not guilty. Multiple felon and five-time deportee killed the 32-year-old woman over 2 years ago, but her family will never see justice. The California state government has made a complete mockery of the justice system on multiple levels. Answer me this, San Francisco. Help me out. I can't seem to wrap my brain around this. How can a man fire a gun into a group of people, kill a woman, then throw the murder weapon into the ocean, get caught fleeing the scene, and get off scot-free? Help me, help me out. I don't understand your definition of law and order. What was the prosecution doing during this case? The killer admitted that he fired the gun. The only case the defense had was this was an accident. This was an accident? Oh, I picked up the gun and it just went off. The old Comey Hillary Clinton defense of I don't think they meant it. You know, the no ill intent thing, which I thought, Stu, didn't we just discover yesterday from
Al Franken?
Al Franken. Yeah. Doesn't matter what your intent is. I'm sorry. A, I kind of need consistency. And B, I don't think this is good enough. At the very least, he should have gotten involuntary manslaughter. That's what happens when you make a mistake with a gun. You get involuntary manslaughter. Did the prosecution not care? Had they not read that part of the law? Are they completely incompetent? If you live in these sanctuary cities in California, how can you ever feel safe? You're already mostly forbidden from protecting yourself. The gun laws are among the strictest in the country. But not only that, the government of California has now shown that they cannot protect you either. ICE has declared they will deport this murderer yet again. But we all know it won't matter. He'll come right back. And the state of California not only won't do a thing about it, but they will welcome him with open arms. Now, the killer didn't get off completely unscathed. They did actually nail him for something. It wasn't murder. It wasn't manslaughter. It wasn't illegally being in the country. The new crime on his rap sheet is illegal possession of a firearm. Wait. What? If that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. For the leftist, blaming the criminal always runs second to the gun. The killer is innocent. It is the gun that is guilty. One final question for the justice system in California. If the shooter would have been a white person and the victim an immigrant, an illegal or illegal, would the verdict be the same?
It's Friday, December 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I saw this yesterday afternoon, and I just could not believe it.
To summarize, you don't like immigrants, basically?
Is that yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, that's what it seemed like there as you went through that. It's an amazing case. You know, it's funny because we went through, she was sort of like the example of what really can go wrong with illegal immigration. And, you know, there wasn't much discussion over whether he was guilty or not. I don't think anyone considered, oh, yeah, they'll buy the whole, he just picked it up and it just kind of went off at this poor girl.
So wait, he just picked it up. So how could he be charged with illegal possession of a gun? He just picked it up.
Right, right.
That was the case. It was just sitting there. I picked it up. It went off.
It's ridiculous. But I mean, even if you say, you know what? That's what happened. He's sitting there, picked up the gun, went off the wrong direction.
Then it's involuntary manslaughter.
You're right. Right. I agree. I at least agree with that. But let's just assume that for a second. If you had tough border laws and he wasn't in the country, he can't mistakenly shoot our citizens.
Correct.
The point here is that there is a crime that happened before he shot anyone, and we don't care about it.
Well, but Stu, if it wasn't him, it would have been somebody else.
Would it have?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but it would have been somebody else because there are just too many guns, you know, on the docks.
Really?
Yes.
I've been to...
How many times have you walked the docks in San Francisco and you see the SEALs and then you're like, oh my gosh, they're surrounded by guns just laying all around them.
Zero times. And look, you're not going to be able to stop every single murder. You're not going to be able to stop every single illegal immigrant from coming in. Even if we all had the conservative dream of every policy we want to stop illegal immigration, you're not going to stop everyone. There will still be murders that happen from illegal immigrants. And of course, there will still be murders that happened from American citizens, but we shouldn't choose to import them. There's a nice little path there, which is to do as much as we can to stop as many as we can from coming here illegally.
Stu,
yes.
They're going to send him home.
Send back them?
They're going to send back them. He's going home. ICE is going to deport him. So we don't have to worry about him.
Well, I mean, he's hopefully going to prison first.
Yeah, for an illegal possession of a firearm.
And that still could be a few years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, in this case...
It's amazing.
For what he did.
How is it... See, this is a serious question. How is it not involuntary manslaughter? If I am driving down the road, I don't even have a gun. If I'm driving down the road and I, you know, I'm looking down at my cell phone... And I kill somebody, I get involuntary manslaughter. Well, it wasn't my intent. I didn't mean to kill anybody. I just happened to look down at my phone. Oh, it's these damn phones. We should ban phones in cars. Yeah, but you also shouldn't have a phone in your car and look at it while you're driving. And you know what? It doesn't matter. You killed someone. And so that's why there's involuntary manslaughter. I don't understand it. Let me go back. A Disney animated series has introduced its first male princess, complete with chest hair, to share an important bias about gender bias. A recent episode on the Disney XD channel animated series Star vs. the Forces of Evil, the character Marco transforms himself into Princess Marco for his visit to St. Olga's Reform School for Wayward Princesses, where he's given an honorary degree. However, before Marco is able to confess that he is pretending to be a princess, the school's evil headmistress, Miss Haynes, outs him as a boy by exposing his single curly chest hair that is hidden underneath his purple gown. Turdina isn't a princess. She's a boy, Miss Haynes tells the audience. But the headmistress's revelation doesn't affect the princess's favorable views of Turdina. I think it's important to point out that the root of Turdina is turd. That doesn't prove anything. Princesses can be hairy, one princess in the crowd responds, while the hairy princess adds, yeah, we believe in you, turd Dina. Overwhelmed with guilt, Marco admits that he has been lying to them and removes his gown to show that he is indeed a boy. Miss Haynes argues that Marco's lie is proof that she needs to be running St. Olga's. However, the other princesses refuse to see gender as a factor in deciding who can be a princess. He can be a princess if he wants to, someone else shouts, and another princess declares, Turdina is a state of mind. The Progressive Show is the first animated series created by a woman, Darren Nefsky. And earlier this year, the program featured Disney's first same-sex kiss on the Disney Channel. In an episode which aired in March, a gay couple can be seen sharing a kiss for the first time in the history of the Walt Disney Company. Walt would be so proud. He would. I know Walt liked to get into all of the sexual issues.
That's what he wanted to do, yeah.
He was like, when he was doing the Mouse and Mickey Mouse, he was like, you know, let's really teach kids about sex.
That was basically, yeah. I mean, it was a very early effort at porn. That was what the Disney company was built on.
It was.
As much sexual escapades as you can, as you can portray. Yes.
And let's do everything we can to turn the culture inside out and upside down. That was his biggest.
Do you ever see the unrated version of Steamboat Willie?
No, I have not.
Oh man, they just go to town. It's incredible.
You should hear the. You know, I have a copy. You know, I have the actual Lincoln head from the evening with Mr. Lincoln.
Mm.
Okay, so I actually have that head that Walt made. But what I haven't told you is I have the actual script for the original Lincoln conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty hardcore, I guess.
Oh, my gosh, it's hardcore. First of all, he takes a picture of his schlong and he sends it to people in the audience.
Abe was the first sexter.
He was the first. Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
Don't
he was like,
that.
Look, this is what every woman wants.
Yep.
Even Matt Lauer someday, who you don't know yet, kids, will want to do this on NBC.
Yeah, he was known as Honest Abe because he didn't even try to get good lighting on it. It was just he just went with the first picture he took and sent it.
Yeah, I mean, it was it was a tin type. It was a tin type. Yeah, he sent the tin type. But it's
poor guy got assassinated. We're still screwing him over. We should point out Bill O'Reilly's going to be on today, and he was one of the biggest.
Kate's Law. Kate's Law. I mean, he's going to be on fire today.
Oh, yeah.
Fire today. And I also am kind of interested in hearing what he has to say about the interview with Matt Lauer that he did.
That should be quite interesting.
It could be interesting. Mm-hmm. That's coming up. Also, Carly Fiorina in hour number three. Great show today. You don't want to miss. And someone in about 10 minutes, I just got a note. I'm going to speak to quite possibly a man who I think is a hero. We're going to have him on in a minute. I'll tell you more about it coming up in just a second. First, getting a good night's sleep is easier said than done, especially if you hear a noise downstairs. I mean, what do you do in that situation? Honey, there's somebody. I think I heard something. Uh-huh. Well, get up. No, what am I going to do? You get up. I didn't hear it. You get up. Maybe that doesn't, because certainly that doesn't hurt. That's not the conversation. I immediately jump out of bed and I say, honey, I'll protect us. I do not do this. What? I heard. Anyway, get a good night's sleep and don't have to worry about anything. If somebody comes in your house, you're going to know it with Simply Safe. A Simply Safe system has a complete arsenal. Other Simply Safe Simply Safe has a great system that you can order online. You can have it at your doorstep this week. You can have it tomorrow. You open the box, you plug it in. It tells you, put this over here, put this over here. There's nothing that you have to screw into the wall. There's no drilling. There's no wiring, nothing. Also, there are no contracts or hidden fees. You own the system, and the 24/7 professional monitoring is just $14.99 a month. Go to simplysafebeck.com right now. You'll get a 10% discount when you order today. It's simplysafebeck.com. 10% off this amazing system. simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
All right, let's bring you up to speed on the tax bill that is expected to be voted on in the Senate today. So far, it is 49 yay votes with the Republicans, and they expect one more to be flipped by this afternoon.
Yeah, that's the reporting we have right now, that it looks like they, as of this moment, have 49 yeses. You saw McCain come on board yesterday, which is a big one if you want to get this thing passed. Again, obviously, I disagree with John McCain constantly, but he does hold some sway in within the Senate for sure. So getting him on board
was
is a big
to say,
deal,
wasn't it? Yeah. I could see that in your eyes. It was weird. It really hurt you to say that.
That's true. But it's true. I mean, it's the way this group of people works, right? When one, if there's a guy like McCain who comes on board, that makes it okay for a bunch of other people to come on board, which is sad, a sad commentary. However, it's true. So when him with him coming on board, Ron Johnson also came on board earlier today, which he was a guy who was saying he was going to vote no, but he's done that the last few times. He says he's not going to vote no until the end and then changes. So that gets you to supposedly 49, and they're still waiting on 50, 51, or 52. But any one of those options means it passes. So they don't need to get all three of them, and they probably won't. But they also got Lisa Murkowski as a yes.
Which tells me this is just bad. When John McCain and Murkowski are on it, he was like, oh, geez, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's not a bold plan. I mean, I think there's some good things in it. We've talked about them a decent amount.
Yeah, no, it's not the plan. It's a very good Democrat plan.
Yeah, yeah. You I know, mean, if the Democrats pass this, you'd be like, look, we got a Democratic president, we got a Democratic House, we got a Democratic Senate.
It's you not
know,
bad.
It's got some good things in there, a lot of bad things. Right. You know,
For a Republican-controlled House, Senate, and White House, this is an abomination. But I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's an abomination, but you'll take it.
But I'll take it.
It is, I think, better in some ways. You know, a lot of the scare tactics about it being worse, I think, aren't fair. We've talked about them a little bit here. Some of them are.
Because what they're saying is it's going to raise your taxes. Well, yeah, in 7 years, but nobody's going to... You think they're going to let you... You think on an election year, whoever is running is going to allow that to happen?
Yeah, that's the idea, right? They expire, and then you'd have to say, okay...
And not expire on the upper end.
It's the middle class.
But on the middle class. Yeah. So they would have to be campaigning for, yep, I'm for that middle class tax hike.
It would expire on both. However, we should point out for the House plan, it doesn't expire at all. So they still have to hash out which part of this goes with which. You also have the Senate plan has the individual mandate repeal for Obamacare, where the House plan doesn't. There's a bunch of different things they're going to have to hammer out. So this is not the end of the road here, but they think they can get this over the finish line today to get it into conference, which is then you're going to have another finish line. And if they can get past that one, then you might actually get your tax cuts. And again, when I say your tax cuts, it's not going to be incredibly dramatic, but it is. There are some really good things. It's pretty dramatic on the business side. And that's a positive if you're one of those people who, you know, likes to have a job. So that's a positive thing.
Or if you believe that the businesses will reinvest it. I'm not sure in this climate, because you never know what is coming next.
It's true.
You know, so
it's true. But this is having more of your money is not going to hurt businesses. It's going to help them.
You're right. But will they invest it in building new factories and hiring new people? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see.
And another big update just happened is Michael Flynn, who was, obviously a big factor in supporting the president early on and was in his cabinet for about a day. He has been charged with willfully and knowingly making false statements to the FBI. The statements appear to be made, according to the court filing, around January 24th. So a few days after the inauguration. And the lies that he is accused of telling the FBI did surround Russia, meetings with Russia, and his promises to potentially get rid of regulations now that they were going to become president and he was going to have power. So that's coming out now. Again, you know, this does not mean anything about Donald Trump per se, which I think he's a big fish in this.
This is an interesting thing because, you know, they cut off his defense, cut off communication with the White House defense. And the speculation was he's going to do a plea deal and he's going to turn for the state. And for the FBI now to charge him, does that mean that this is a lesser crime that they're charging him with? Does this mean that he said, you know what? No, I'm not going to turn state's evidence.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
Is he holding, is he being loyal to Trump and not,
Or is this him Is this the FBI putting screws to him and saying, this is just the first charge, dude? There's many more coming.
Yep. All of that could be, all of that could be true. And, you know, it's another big one, but, you know, it's it, there's nothing related to the campaign. There's nothing like the lies they're talking about are him talking about, you know, well, we should meet, we should talk about these, you know, sanctions and things like that. So more to come.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay. So last night, I'm on the internet, and I see a picture of a truck that I think to myself, that's the one I've been looking for. This is absolutely unbelievable. It's called the Duke. And it's, I mean, I wrote to my wife and said, honey, ultimate Christmas gift. Now,
yeah,
you know, this is for somebody who, you know, somebody who has, if you put money in Bitcoin when it was 30 cents, you might want to withdraw it. I have no idea what this thing is even worth. But it is, it's an unbelievable truck. We put it up at glennbeck.com so you can see it, or you can go to rtechfabrications.com. But it's a 1970, let's see here. Oh, shoot, it doesn't say here. Hang on, I got the guy who made it right here. Randall Robertson. Randall.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk with you.
So you...
1972 Chevy K50, now that we've made it four-wheel drive.
And it, this has... Because I have an old truck. I have like a... I have a 58, I think, and a 72, but they're just restored. And you can't drive those damn things. You just can't drive them. This is all new stuff in it. Huh?
Where will I park this and it not get banged up? Right?
Exactly right. And you can't drive it anywhere. It's too hard to drive. So this is a new, you put, tell me the specs on this thing.
Okay. Well, to begin with, they didn't really actually make this truck. It's something that, you know, 2 a.m, about 3 years ago, I sat up in bed and, you know, go, oh, I think I need to make this truck.
Oh, it's so beautiful, man. It is so beautiful.
Most of the trucks that I design, they are designed at about 2 to 2:30 in the morning.
Right, right.
Anyway, but, you know, so the specs on the truck. This particular truck is not our first crew cab, and they didn't make this particular, you know, from 67 to 72, they didn't make a crew cab, GM. So anyway, you know, so we started off... you know, I walked out to my shop and it's like, okay, I can't wait, you know, 6 months to get a cab built specifically for this build. So I went and took one off the shelf that wasn't even supposed to be a 50 series truck, you know. So started with one of our crew cabs. And the way that I build my trucks, the way I design my trucks is if GM ever actually made this truck, this is the way I think it would look. And this is the way I think
right.
it would run, and this is
right.
what I think would have in it. So the Duke has, it's on a C50 frame, which we've, and C means it's two-wheel drive, and K means it's four-wheel drive. So, you know, we've made a four-wheel drive. It's essentially a 2.5-ton frame, but a 1-ton truck. So it's got the 1-ton running gears. And so the front... we've modified it so it doesn't look like a C50. It looks like a pickup truck. So we've shortened up the flares and, you know, took away things that made it look like a big truck and tried to just make it look like a...
Tell me about the engine.
5.9 12-valve Cummins. About 450 horsepower.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
this thing's gonna run. You know what this
is? To the store and back.
When I saw this truck, I thought that truck is made for the apocalypse. This is just the truck that will just keep running.
It's so funny, you know, because you know, when we pull into like car shows and stuff, you know, everybody stops and they turn, and all I see are the backs of people's phones and these big eyes.
Oh,
you know, please don't run over me. But yeah, so
it's beautiful. So it took you 2 years to make it?
Yeah, 2.5 years. You know, some people's money tree grows a lot faster than mine does, and I have a lot of customers as well. So, you know, I knew it was a priority, but I do have to pay my bills.
So also, is this your personal? This is your car? Are you selling it?
I built this specifically for me, so it's got a bunch of stuff that most people wouldn't even think to order. While at SEMA, you know, we had a couple people that made some offers that didn't quite get to my magic number.
What's your magic number?
Magic number is about $300,000.
It is an unbelievable truck. And with the way Bitcoin is going, somebody may buy it from you for $300,000. Unbelievable.
You know, I was just yesterday trying to figure out this whole Bitcoin thing. So, and I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
I don't personally believe that I would ever, you know, sign up for Bitcoin. Gold, yes, but I don't know. I don't trust can't have in my hand.
I will tell you, Randall, I'm the same way. I mean, I believe in gold. Do you listen to the show?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. So, you know how I feel on gold.
Deal of things.
It is.
I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's foolish not to put some money in Bitcoin. Just fun money, money that you're like, we'll blow that on a weekend. Put it in there because you never know. This thing could turn off overnight. It's fun while it lasts. Randall. I'd love to come and see your shop because I was looking online. I'd love to see your shop and I'd love to see this thing in person. But
you know, I just think that'd be so fun between me being ADHD and you. Man,
we could design some trucks. Thanks, Randall. I appreciate it, man. God bless you.
All right, you take care.
You bet. Bye bye. You'd find that at glenbeck.com or R-Tech Fabrications. It's called the Duke. It's sweet. A good thing to print up and just dream about.
I just like the guy who wakes up at 2 in the morning and that just becomes his job, right? Like he comes up with 2 in the morning, comes up with a crazy idea, and that's his gig for the next few years.
Don't you wish you could make something? Like, I wish
of
I
value?
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, I wish I could play the piano, or I wish I could make something. You know, it's like why I like art, but it's like, what am I going to do? I got all these paintings that are sitting in my closet. What am I going to do with them? Don't you wish you could, I guess I should say, don't you wish you could make something that people wanted? And not even just to run up the price and be rich because you made it, just because you were making something and you was like, that is cool.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like what everyone winds up thinking about doing at the when they retire, and then when they retire, they just decide instead to go to sleep and maybe, you know.
I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson on this, and I'm just at the point in my life right now where I'm really kind of deciding everything in my life. Because it's becoming more real to me. I recognize how fast 30 to 50 went. And then I look at 40 to 50 and I'm like, wow. And now I look, I'm 53. What? I was just 50 yesterday. And so you start, I don't know, you just start thinking of things differently. And the biggest tragedy, I think in my father's life, and the biggest lesson he taught me was, I grew up with him every day. He was like one stroke out of the pro tour when he was young. And he was really good, a really good golfer. And he worked all the time. And he said, someday I'm going to retire and I'm just going to play golf. By the time he could retire, he could no longer play golf. His body was in such bad shape, he could no longer play golf. So he was a golf warden. He drove the golf cart, you know, on the golf course and took a part-time job as a golf warden, which was nice. But I learned, don't wait. You may not be able to do that again. Between that and the fact that I was about 45 miles away from the Grand Canyon in my car driving to move to Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm driving right by it. And I think I should stop and see the Grand Canyon. I thought, no, I'm going to live in Arizona. I mean, I'll see that. I have still not seen the Grand Canyon. Well, I haven't seen it from that side. And it's like, don't. If you see the big ball of string is, you know, 30 miles off this exit, you're never coming back to the big ball of string. Stop and see the big ball of string. All right, 2018 is right around the corner. That means come January 1st, your car is going to be another year older, and it will cost you more to fix. If you are out of your manufacturer warranty, here's good news. Getting extended vehicle protection from CarShield, like the one that I have, could save you thousands. I have a brand new truck that I bought, and I have another truck, an older truck, that is 2008, I think. And it's a, you know, Cummins engine, and it's great. But if the transmission goes on that thing, I mean, the engine's going to drive forever. Transmission goes, what's that going to cost? Well, just the sensors, what is that going to cost? I keep my vehicles in really good condition, so they will last, and I can drive them till the doors fall off. But unfortunately, the sensors can cost you $1,000. Get the peace of mind that I have with CarShield, the ultimate in extended coverage. It's affordable protection that can save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars in covered repair. They have plans to cover your car's computer, GPS, the electronics, and so much more. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean you have to pay the high repair bills. You can go to your favorite mechanic or have the dealership do it, and CarShield gets them paid directly. Sign up today. You'll also get 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop if you sign up today. CarShield. Go to carshield.com or call 800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck, and you will save 10%. That's carshield.com. Promo code Beck. A deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Reading Police, California. Please pardon my voice. I'm sorry that it sounds this way. Reading Police say some people searching for a Christmas tree in eastern Shasta County in California found a partially clothed kidnapped victim forced to take shelter in a dead tree and drink from puddles to survive. One suspect was arrested. Another remains at large. Police are not identifying the woman for the time being, though they didn't say why. The victim told investigators that two acquaintances of hers, Johanna Knighton, 33, and Fred Sanderson, 44, both of Redding, California, kidnapped her from the Mistletoe Lane and Victor Avenue area Sunday, possibly because they believe she stole drugs from them. The victim told investigators a pair drove her about 6 miles from the highway in the van, assaulted her, and then took off all of her clothes except for a pair of shorts. She faced extremely cold temperatures. She survived the rain and the snow by staying in a hollowed out tree and drank from puddles before she was rescued. I watched this documentary the other day from HBO on the meth problem in Arkansas. It's just a different world, you know. Watching these people who are just trapped in the, you know, they were making meth in labs, you know, kind of like stills out in the backwoods, and they were in small batches. The FBI comes in, busts them. Now nobody's making it, and the drug cartels are just dumping this stuff in this community, in this whole area, in not Alabama. Where was I just talking about? Arkansas.
I get those two states confused all the time. They were talking about Tom Cotton going to go to the CIA because Pompeo might go to Tillerson's slot and Secretary of State. And I'm like, wow, are they going to do a second senator from Alabama? I don't know if it's just the A. I know you guys are different states. Yeah, if you're in Alabama or Arkansas, I'm just an idiot. It's Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton. I know they're two different people. They're two different people, but I can't keep them separate.
Exactly right. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, how do these people get out of this lifestyle? Because, they were talking to the police and the police said, you know, we have arrested these people so long. We arrested them. Now we've arrested their children and in some cases their grandchildren. It's been going on. It's a way of life. And you should see these people. They're 30, 40 years old and they look like they're 100. And it's just tragic and sad. And I'm watching it like it's a different life. I mean, it's just a different world that we live in.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we've talked about this with the opioid thing. They've done these charts. And again, you know, you could see the pictures. Like, remember that picture that came out a while ago where it was the couple in the front seat with a kid in the back seat? And they were both passed out in the front seat of the car. And the kid was in the back seat of the car seat. And like, you could see a really dramatic picture like that. And it shows you how bad that stuff is. But when they show the charts of what the effects of the opioid crisis have been as it compares to like the crack crisis of the 80s. I mean, how many movies about the crack crisis of the 80s has been a huge thing? Like, I remember when that was going on. I was, you know, young, but I remember it going on and it was like, it felt like all encompassing. It was like crime everywhere. It was like panicked. You didn't know when someone would, you know, it felt like watching the media, like someone that was smoking crack could come through your front door at any second, right? Like that was the.
But you know, it's interesting. Crack was associated with the inner cities and the big cities, mm-hmm. was it not?
Yeah, I would say yes.
I mean, that's what you think about it.
This is the opposite.
Meth is the opposite. It's not happening in, I mean, it is, but it's not happening like it is in rural America. It's
much more of a rural problem.
I mean, it is devastating.
But the
rural
scale
America.
Of it is several times larger than the worst the crack epidemic ever got. And it is a serious, serious thing. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it's in, you know, largely focused in places where there aren't giant media markets, right? I mean, like, you know, you're in rural, less populated areas, and there aren't giant television stations to be covering this all the time, but there's a lot of work to be done on that.
Yeah, that and the opioid crisis. Just a lot of work.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
For the love of heaven, why won't President Trump get out of his own way? This week, there was positive economic news that most past presidents would have shouted from the rooftops. The fact that the U.S. economy has exceeded its potential output for the first time in a decade. The third quarter of 2017 is the strongest in 3 years. Yesterday, the Dow closed above 24,000, an all-time record. How about this one? The unemployment rate is the lowest it has been in 17 years. I mean, those are good. Those, you should be shouting those. The Republican tax reform bill is also inching its way through Congress this week. It's looking likely that it will pass, which will be a much needed win for the president. His only significant legislative accomplishment of the entire year. This should have been a slower week of positive vibes and fluff pieces on the White House. And the Christmas decorations, I mean, instead, Donald Trump hijacked any good press he might have enjoyed, mainly through Twitter. He said that Time magazine called to say he was probably going to be named the Time Man of the Year, second year in a row, which Time said, no, he didn't. He said that we should have a fake news competition for the TV networks with a trophy prize. He shared anti-Muslim videos from a racist British group, infuriating the Prime Minister of England. And for good measure, he implied that Joe Scarborough should be investigated for murder. All that on top of his Pocahontas comment, which was a fiasco. Donald Trump seems to want positive media coverage about him. Yet he feeds the media constant negative fodder for all of his tweets. Here's the strategy I think that the president hasn't tried yet. Stay off of Twitter. Stay off it. Don't punch any keys. You're sitting there in the John in the morning. Don't do it. Try it for a week, maybe two. If he wouldn't give the media stupid things to be distracted with, surely they'd be forced to find something else to talk about. In theory, at this point, he has set such a precedent with his tweets that the stories would probably be all about why isn't the president tweeting?
It's Friday, December 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly joins us from BillO'Reilly.com. His latest book, Killing England, is a number one New York Times bestseller. Welcome to the program, Bill. How are you?
You got the sniffles back or what?
Yeah, I don't.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You all right? You sure? Yeah.
I'm good. I'm better than I would be if I were living in San Francisco and I was reading the news.
And before we get to that, I want to help you out on the sniffles front. I'll do most of the talking during this segment, okay?
What a surprise.
All right, Kate Steinle, this is heartbreaking. All right, that's number one. Every American, you have a family, 32-year-old woman, walking with her dad on the pier at San Francisco, and all of a sudden, she's shot in the head. So doesn't get worse than that. Father, it dies in the father's arms, says to the father, last words, Dad, please help. You know, it doesn't get worse. And that's about as bad as life gets. So you take that and then you say, well, we have to have justice because in America we're a system where justice is demanded, or at least we were. We are no longer. So who killed Kate Steinle? Zarate did. But the jury found that it might have been an accident. However, Jim Steinle, Kate's father, and the man in whose arms Kate died, was at the trial every day and said, justice was delivered, but it really wasn't justice. Okay? So he was there, he saw it, and he says to the jury, looks him in the eye, and this is probably the most honest man I've ever covered, Jim Steinle, says justice was rendered, but it wasn't justice. So that's what we have to take away from the trial. But who really killed Kate Steinle? The city and county of San Francisco and the politicians who run it killed him. Because that man, Zarate, had 7 felony convictions in this country, had been deported 5 times, come back 6 times. They had him in jail in San Francisco County. The feds asked for a waiver to detain him, and the sheriff of the county let him out, and he killed Kate Steinle.
Okay, so
just because he was found not guilty doesn't mean he didn't kill her. He killed her.
Bill, I have not been following this this court case all the way along because I just assumed that he was guilty. He was going to go to jail.
Yeah.
I am so baffled by this. First of all, Zarate said he just found the gun and picked it up and it went off. Just found it. So if that is true, two things. One, if that happened to you or me, it would be involuntary manslaughter. Okay?
Of course, and that's what it was. Look, the gun was stolen from a car belonging to a California agent who works in the parks system. It was stolen from the car. All right? He winds up with the gun. The only piece of evidence that would knock him out of second-degree murder is that the bullet that hit Kate in the head ricocheted off the concrete on the pier. And that was established as fact. Okay, I understand that. And in our system, that's reasonable doubt of intent. That's reasonable doubt. But involuntary manslaughter is exactly right, Beck, even though you have the sniffles. You saw through that, and that's what it should have been.
So why did they not? Why did they not charge?
It's California. It's California. That's why. If this had been in Texas, where you are right now, that guy probably would have been convicted of second degree. But I don't want to undermine the jury system. I want to lay the blame where it belongs, on the city and county of San Francisco, on Senator Harry Reid, and on Senator Mitch McConnell. That's where the blame lies. I mean, these poor people, and they weren't even told, by the way. The jury was not even told about Zarate's deportations, his felony convictions, his nationality. They weren't told about it because it didn't pertain directly to the crime.
Have you ever been in a jury where it was life or death kind of stuff? Have you ever been in a jury like this?
No, I covered them, but I've never been sitting.
So I was seated in one, and it still haunts me. It still haunts me because we made a decision that once we found out all of the information afterwards, we were like, we would have never done that. No, that takes away all doubt.
It takes away all doubt.
Right.
And the judge
came in because we asked him. We said, after we delivered the verdict, we said, could we talk to you? And he came in and he said, do you really want to know? We said, yeah. And he said, well, first of all, let me say this. I can sentence him that will put him away for a long time. But he told us, you know, that he was wearing, at one point he was wearing sneakers of a woman that had a woman's blood on them after he had beaten her. And he wore them in the trial and no one knew about it. You know, we didn't know about it. We didn't know that he had done this before. And it's crazy. I feel bad for this jury.
But when you step back in our system of justice, which is evaporating quickly here, we give every opportunity for the accused to have a so-called fair trial.
Yes.
So that's why the evidence that's not directly involved in the crime
is excluded
in some.
I wouldn't have a problem with that if it would have been involuntary manslaughter. Is there any doubt in your mind if
None.
Bill O'Reilly were down on that, you found a gun and it just went off in your hands and it ricocheted and it killed an illegal immigrant or just an immigrant or just a person of color. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would have at least gotten involuntary manslaughter?
Well, but it gets worse, Beck. The guy throws the gun in the bay. If it were an accident, if it were just a tragic thing, he would have rushed to Kate and tried to help her along with her father. And so, oh, I'm so sorry. Look what happened. He didn't do that. Threw the gun in the bay and split and ran away. So, look, it's a California jury. You know, O.J. Simpson, we all know what this is out there. But, you know, and Jim Steinle, what he said was just, when I read it, I can't imagine a man's pain. I really just can't. But we have to deal with the bigger issue, and the sanctuary city stuff is insane. And Harry Reid, they could have passed Kate's Law, and you remember that I was behind Kate's Law.
I know.
And that, just to boil it down, is any convicted criminal, foreign national, who is deported, comes back, goes to prison immediately. Goes to prison. That's Kate's Law. Very simple. Mandatory sentencing. You're deported for a crime. You come back. You're in federal prison. Harry Reid killed that bill because he didn't want to demonize immigrants. All right, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican, when the Republicans, GOP, regained control of the Senate, he wouldn't put it up for a vote, standalone vote. He wouldn't do it. So these politicians are just as responsible as anybody for this ongoing horror that we've had to witness.
Because this specific case, Bill, you know, obviously the verdict is very important to the family and the people involved in it.
Oh, yeah.
But the larger societal impact here is whether this guy shot Kate intentionally, whether he did it by mistake, whether he dropped a banana peel on the sidewalk and she slipped and died. The point is he couldn't have done any of those things if he wasn't here. And he should not have been here. And Kate's Law could prevent those things.
And going forward, we still don't have case law. Yeah. We still don't have it. A president has called for it. I lined up all the votes. There were enough votes to get it done. The House is easy. I lined them up myself. All right? And McConnell wouldn't put it up.
So
what kind of guy is this? You know, I mean, really, what kind of people are these? So going forward, we can have Kate Steinle today or tomorrow, because there are people, criminal aliens, who have been deported coming back, because if they round them up, there's no mandatory sentence for them. Now, I've asked on BillO'Reilly.com, I'm demanding, I'm not asking, that Attorney General Sessions immediately put forth federal charges against Zarate for his 5 deportation defiances. They can wrap him up in prison for 20 years if they charge him on immigration law. So Sessions says he's going to do it. He better do it. I mean, people ought to get angry about this thing.
Bill, what message do you think this sends to San Francisco, to illegals? What does this send?
They don't care. We sent guys out, reporters out to San Francisco immediately after this happened, and every single city council member go, "Oh, you're demonizing immigrants, O'Reilly. Oh, you're getting it." They don't care. They don't. They're zombies, Beck. These are zombie people, all right? They can't step back and say that there should be fairness and justice and laws should be upheld. The governor of the state, Jerry Brown, he's very content to have the whole state a sanctuary state. You know, it is so outrageous.
So I'm not asking control. About them. I know they're zombies. I'm asking you, what message does this send to illegals that are already here, to criminals?
Well, they know they're safe there. They know they're safe in California.
This is beyond safe. This is beyond safe.
They know.
This is beyond safe. This is almost a license to kill.
Well, look, you've got a system that is broken. And who's going to fix it? Who's going to fix it? I mean, I don't see, Cruz, Grassley, those two senators, they've been champions on this. But where are the others? Where are all the others? You know, it makes me sick. I really, feel that this country is in desperate trouble right now.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com and his new book, Killing England. We'll continue our conversation with him coming up in just a second. When you look to make your next business trip, use Upside.com. And here's why. Unlike anybody else, when you go and buy a business trip, I mean, you're at the bottom of the barrel and you just want to get there. You want to have it done right. You wouldn't it be nice to have somebody on your side that was looking out for you? Upside is the only person or the only group that has customer service specialists. You ever heard of the Amex Black Card?
Yeah.
Okay, you pay a lot of money to have a black card. A black card gives you a concierge. So you just call up and you say, "Hey, I want to go here," and they do all the work for you. But the most important thing is, if you're trapped someplace, if you're bumped, you can call them and they'll take care of it for you. This is what Upside does. Upside has people that are available by chat, by phone, by email. They're monitoring your trip. Something happens, they are proactively keeping posted on everything, including the weather in the city that you're going to, changing your flight home so you can adjust your meeting schedule. That kind of service doesn't exist with anyone, and that is the Upside difference, plus the amazing prices for the flights and the hotel and the rental cars. Book your first business trip at upside.com/back, and you're going to get Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. They're yours for free just for trying Upside out. Upside.com/back. Do it now. You'll get the Bose SoundLink wireless headphones just for trying Upside. You're going to love it. Minimum purchases required. See site for details. It's upside.com/back.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Let's switch to another worthless topic on Congress. The tax bill. They now have 49 out of the 52 senators. Are they going to be able to pass this today?
Yes, they will. They'll make some other tweak. They get one or two more on board. And, shouldn't be this hard, but again, you're dealing with a body that is not looking out for the folks, in my opinion. It's all about them. And, you know, once you get into that zone,
how can they be so,
get anything done.
How can they be so myopic where they are? They are giving these giant breaks. And I'm for the business tax going down. I'm absolutely for it. But but then to not give the break to the average person is nuts.
Well, they are, though, in a sense that if you really analyze the bill, it does help.
It does help
the working class in America.
Help.
I mean, it's not fantastic, but it's something. And then the thinking is, the wisdom is that when you stimulate the economy to this extent, and you mentioned it at the top of the hour, that there'll be more jobs available for everybody, and then the market will drive salaries up, so that you will make money from this bill, not only by getting a tax cut, a little bit of one, but your opportunities will expand. So, I mean, I think that's the overall arch on it.
The bottom line here, too, and no one's talking about this, the bottom 80% of families currently pay 33% of all federal taxes and will get 37% of the tax cuts. So they pay 33, would get 37% of the tax cuts. The top 1% currently pays 27% of all the taxes, but would only get 18% of the tax cuts. So, I mean, they keep acting as if they're only giving money to the rich here. That's not true at all.
Yeah, you're giving
more. Well, the big thing is the economy. That's the big thing. If you have a president who stimulates the economy to the extent that everybody who wants to work can and salaries go up, that's an effective administration domestically. So that's what this is all about. Democrats, of course, don't want Trump to succeed, so they don't care how good the tax bill is or how good the economy is. They'll try to sabotage it.
So the economy and the numbers, what is Trump thinking by just tweeting all this nonsense? This should have been a great week.
He just doesn't think. I mean, that's the problem. I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not going to get into that, but you're absolutely right. I have said it from the very beginning. It's about accomplishments, not feuds. You know, once in a while, you can use a feud for a political advantage, and people will enjoy that, but not every day. You got two big accomplishments. The economy is on the move, and you've hurt ISIS badly. That's what you should be tweeting about.
Yeah. Tell me what you thought of the Pocahontas moment.
It's not a racial slur. It was inappropriate. The guys, the Navajos in the White House, didn't even know what he was talking about.
I know.
You see their faces. You go, what did Pocahontas do that we were not aware of?
I know.
Let's go back to Jamestown. What did she do? But again, it's a stream of consciousness with our president. I mean, whatever pops into his mind, he says, because that's what rich guys do, Beck, and you know that. You're a rich guy. Whatever pops into your mind, you say. Right. That's what happens.
Right. I was saying that when I was broke. And that may lead to me being broke again, but
yeah, but you weren't sober then, right?
Yes, so you're exactly right.
It was a whole different track.
Yes. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Michael Flynn, who has just been charged by the FBI with lying to the FBI. What does this mean to the Trump administration? Coming up,
Glenn Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We're with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. We got news this morning that the former National Security Advisor for Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, has pleaded guilty today to willfully and knowingly making false, fictitious, and fraudulent statements to the FBI about conversations with Russia's ambassador. The White House respondent said this was expected. Trump fired him for lying to Vice President Mike Pence. Of course he lied to the FBI as well. Bill, what does this mean?
I don't think it means very much. I mean, it means that CNN and MSNBC will have a full roster of hysteria. But, you know, Flynn was a guy who had a very nebulous, word of the day, nebulous association with Turkey and Russia, made money representing various things that they were doing. And apparently, the inside story here, Beck, though, and that's why you have me on every week, is that apparently they made a deal with Flynn to plead guilty to lying to the FBI if they'd leave his son alone. The son did work with the father. the younger Flynn was in kind of jeopardy. But I think the deal is, you know, let the boy go and I'll plead guilty. I think that's what happened.
So does this move the case into the White House at all?
No, because the White House did bail from Flynn fairly early because he did, as you pointed out, mislead Pence. So I don't think, I mean, unless Flynn's got some information and nobody could possibly know that, that connects the president with Russia directly, it's probably going to die out fast.
Bill, switching gears a little bit here, I did come across a little piece of an interview with you that I found to be interesting this week. As you may have seen and remembered, the Matt Lauer interview with you has been making the rounds quite a bit. And
I'm wondering, have you offered an interview for him on your show?
Nah, you know, everybody is caught up in the mass hysteria of all of these accusations. But I come back to the very simple thing, and what Americans should want is justice. They should want justice, and nobody should be abused in the workplace. So when you keep your eye on that, and I think nobody would disagree with that, you can start to move through some of these things in a responsible way, unlike the press, which every headline is a conviction now. So Lauer, who I've known forever, but I'm not a friend of his, what he did in my interview in September when Killing England, and people don't know that, but I was promoting the book. I was promoting Killing England. So I knew that NBC was telling Lauer, hey, you got to be tough on O'Reilly. You got to ask him all.
They did seven minutes on your firing and two
the
book.
Yeah, and I didn't mind. Yeah. Now, all I want is my say. I went in there and, you know, they did seven on that and two on the book, and fine, the book becomes number one, and I did what I had to do to promote the book. But as far as Lauer is concerned, absolutely knew what he was going to do, what he was going to say. And if you look at the interview, I answered his questions honestly. Now, he doesn't look good because all the while he was asking those questions, he had to know that all of this stuff that he has now admitted was in the background. So how do you do that? I don't know. I don't know how you do that, but that's him. He has got to deal with it.
So, Bill, you just said, you know, every accusation is a conviction now.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to Congress. That's not happening.
Well, it is, though. Conyers is done. All right. I mean, his guy can say, I got to stay. He's finished. All right. So, and I expect he'll be out next week. And they'll say his health is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that is. Right. And Franken's done.
You think Franken's done?
You think Franken's out?
He's out because the Senate Ethics Committee can't give him a pass. They can't. And they'll come back and go, oh, you know, Franken, ow, you know. And I actually recused myself from Franken because I despise him so much. And I told my audience on BillO'Reilly.com, look, I'm not going to comment on what Franken allegedly did or did not do because I hate him. Hate is a bad word. I despise him. He's a liar.
You hate the things that he does.
I know him forever. And he is the lowest of the low. You don't get lower than Al Franken. So I can't analyze what this situation is. But if he has no future, he's done. And the Ethics Committee will come back, and there'll be other people that come in and say whatever they say. And then,
and so what about Roy? What about Roy Moore?
Now that's a more interesting topic, Moore, because I think Moore is going to win.
I think he is. Yeah, I do too.
In December 12th.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to win because he's the greatest guy? No. He's going to win because people in Alabama hate the press more than what he allegedly did. So
I don't think
that's what's happening.
No, I don't I think they're just willing to look away and say, I don't know what the story is because I hate the press so much.
I think it's more emotional than that. If you look at the polling on it, okay, the majority of Alabamans, not people who are going to vote for Moore. And by the way, I would not vote for Moore. I would not cast a ballot for the man. Okay. But the majority of people who are going to vote in the election, all right, they say that the press is despicable and we don't trust them. So that's the, people rationalize their actions. That's the rationalization. Well, we don't know what he did. you know, but the press is dishonest, so we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. So then he'll get in there, and I think the Senate will bushwhack him, and then the governor of Alabama eventually have to appoint somebody to take his place. I think that's how it's going to come down.
You think the Senate is going to bushwhack him?
I think so, because the Republican Party can't be tied to him. You see, they can't be tied to Roy Moore, and that's what the Democrats will do next year in 2018.
But we're already tied
to... Look at the Republican Party. Look at this.
We're already tied to Donald Trump, and if you believe the press reports, sources in the White House say that he's now saying that that excess Hollywood tape was fraudulent.
Okay, now we go back to stream of consciousness. See, I don't take any of that seriously. I don't take any of that seriously. But I will tell you this. I'm going to make a prediction here on the Glenn Beck program. I wish I had the English accent to do it, but I don't. After this tax reform thing gets passed, the press is going to then pivot into attacking Trump on the women accusations. That's going to be the next thing, because they can't go into 2018 with a roaring economy, all right, and a pretty good accomplishment on Trump's resume. They've got to take him down personally. So you're going to see hysteria develop coming up, and that's what's going to happen.
So how do we, because I think we're sending, and I don't know what message we're sending, and I've struggled with this. I mean, Bill, you and I have talked about this off the air with your situation. And I mean, I've pressed you up against the wall and said, you know, I don't want to defend a bad guy. Tell me the situation. And I've had to make tough choices, in my own life, you know, here, but I think we're all doing this throughout. And I don't know what message we're sending. But I do believe the stories about Donald Trump, and I do believe he has that kind of attitude. So what is this? What by saying, you know what, the president's off limits, or, you know, Al Franken is off limits, or whatever, what does this mean to us in 20 years? Because I think we're here because we said character didn't matter in the 90s.
Well, look, I know where you're coming from on this, but I think you've got to be careful. I know of a tape, an audio tape, that I hope becomes public very soon, because there are at least three crimes on the tape, that an anti-Trump person is offering money to someone to allege stuff against Donald Trump. That tape exists, all right? And you got to be careful about this kind of stuff. Because there are black ops, what they call in the CIA, going on to ruin people that George Soros, Media Matters, Color of Change don't like. You know that. You know it. Don't discount that. Don't discount it.
Well,
so
see, that's why. That's why I think
did not do.
I think
right?
that's.
But I do know the American people elected him, and so. But I know what's coming. I do know what's coming.
So that's kind of where I'm at, is we will say, you know, I'm going to give the person in politics the benefit of the doubt, because I don't know, because politics is so slimy that I don't know what the truth is here.
That's right. And you can't know the truth. So therefore, you can't form judgments. You've got to be very, if you're fair-minded, very circumspect on it and very cautious.
What's the appropriate way to look at these, Bill? Because I have really struggled with this. These things come out, and we're forced to try to make, without a court case, without a real accusation, without any charge being filed, we have to try to sit here and analyze through the media and random reports.
You can't, because the media is never going to tell you the truth, and they're gonna hang you in the headline, whoever you are. If you think this is going to stop, it's not. And next week, there'll be five other people. And then once you get into the campaign season in 2018, almost everybody who runs is going to be slimed in some way with this kind of stuff. It's just too easy to do. It's so easy to do. And
like I saw that
Americans have got to be aware of that this thing is pretty much out of control. Right.
I saw the thing with Garrison Keillor. And if what Garrison Keillor says is true, and look, I mean, I think Garrison Keillor is talented, and I'm a rare bird on this one.
Insufferable.
I think he's talented, but he stands for almost everything that I stand against. However, that being said, if what he says is true, it's insane to fire him was insanity.
Because absolutely. So, look, I'm not going to get into my situation, but I've told you and I've told everybody in this country, I mistreated no one. Okay? And there is no deviation from that. And so, you know, you go on, but am I angry? I'm angry through the roof about this whole injustice in the media.
So the question,
the media drives this stuff.
So,
but if there's evidence that you see, like a picture, Al Franken, or at a police report, Weinstein, sure, that evidence has to be taken into account. But if there isn't, it's just like Garrison Keillor saying, I touched somebody on the back and now I lost my job. You know, you got to take that seriously, even if you don't like the guy.
So you said before, Bill, you wouldn't vote for Moore. What was your right. decision-making process on that?
I just don't think the guy is a problem solver, or he's a pure ideologue, all right, who has put forth a platform that I just don't think represents the country. I mean, and I don't know what he did or didn't do. I just don't know.
So you're not making it on the charges.
He sputtered around. He sputtered around it. Mm-hmm. Sputtered is a good word. But when I see Gloria Allred involved in trying to get him, then I go, okay, look at this.
Yeah, you roll your eyes.
So anyway.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly, thank you very much.
I say one more thing before you guys go to the British woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. BillO'Reilly.com has an unbelievable Christmas promotion, and Glenn Beck needs this.
Ooh.
If you buy 3 gift certificates for premium membership, Beck, you get 4 free books. That's 7 gifts. So you could give your gifts to your staff, take care of everybody.
But there's 12 days of Christmas. There's 12 days of Christmas. It still leaves me at wanting the Pipers and the Maids of Milking.
Well, then do 6 gift certificates to BillO'Reilly.com. Okay? And then you'll get 8 books. So that's 14, and you've outgunned your 12 days of Christmas.
I don't know 6 people that like Bill O'Reilly. BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Get the details at BillO'Reilly.com on the Christmas promotion. It's available now, along with his book, Killing England, New York Times number 1 bestseller.
So I want to tell you a little bit about Goldline. Goldline has just been sold to a new company, and it's called A-Mark. A-Mark is probably the largest publicly traded precious metal wholesaler in the country. Now, the only reason why I'm telling you this, because you don't care who owns companies, the only reason why I'm telling you this is because it shows you the character of the people at Goldline. Because they're now owned by this huge wholesaler, they're able to buy, because of volume, the gold at a much lower price, and they also have systems now that they don't have to duplicate, et cetera, et cetera. So they're able to slash their budgets, and they're going to pass the savings on to you. They're doing a special right now. I've never seen the prices at Goldline like this before. The price of gold has gone up. The price of gold at Goldline is going down. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. If you are in the market for something that you can hold in your hand, and unlike Bitcoin, you know is going to be worth something, probably a lot, if everything else goes to hell in a handbasket, then call Goldline. You're not going to get these prices again. I mean, it's remarkable. Read their important risk information. Find out if gold or silver is right for you at 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to it. It is Friday. Any good movies opening up this weekend? I know Wonder opened last weekend. I really want to go see that.
I am very excited about next weekend. The Disaster Artist. Is this coming out?
What is The Disaster Artist?
It's the story of the movie The Room. Do you know this movie?
No.
It's basically largely considered one of the worst movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Franco is doing it, and I've seen the movie, and
I've
seen the movie, and we did an interview on Wonderful World of Stew with a guy who did a documentary and a book about the movie. It's like serious cult classic status. It's one of the worst things you'll ever see, but it's fantastic.
What is there something wrong with the guy that made the movie?
It's one conclusion you could have. Okay, I will say right, by watching it. Yeah.
I mean, like a mental disorder.
Not that I know of. He made some very strange choices, I will say.
Just seeing the trailer for the movie about the making of the movie. Mental illness does come to the top of the mind. Carly Fiorina is next.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Michigan Attorney General candidate Dana Nessel wants you to know something. I'm not making this up. She thinks it's important for you to know that she does not have a penis.
If the last few weeks has taught us anything, it's that we need more women in positions of power, not less. So when you're choosing Michigan's next Attorney General, ask yourself this. Who can you trust most not to show you their penis in a professional setting? Is it the candidate who doesn't have a penis? I'd say so.
Okay, I'm hoping that she's joking here. I mean, she does have a point. You know, it's not possible for her to do the things that the Weinsteins and Conyers of the world have allegedly done. And that's a promise that she can absolutely keep to her constituents. But as we saw with the presidential election of 2016, running solely on gender doesn't really work. Plus, isn't this gender specific? I mean, it's a little unfair and sexist to imply that there is a risk of a potted plant or a bathrobe incident if a man holds position of power simply because he's a man. All of the allegations about sexual misconduct are throwing a much needed light on the fact that our societal ideas about manhood have been completely decimated. We have to remember, real men don't do this kind of crap. They don't. They don't get their confidence or their ego for asking women to look or touch their junk. Real men elevate their coworkers, their acquaintances, regardless of gender, to their best self. And you know what? Can I tell you something else? I know this sounds sexist, but I think real men actually stand up to dirtbag men like that and protect women and other men or anyone else who might be in the line of fire of that potted plant. It might not seem like right now, but with 2 months of nonstop allegations coming out every day, it doesn't seem like it. But there are good men out there who don't keep bags of sex toys in their office closet. Those men do exist, right? They are the majority, right?
It's Friday, December 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to bring in a woman who I really admire, and I'd admire her even if she were a man. I just think she is one of the bravest people that I have met and forthright, and has just a good head on her shoulders and can think clearly. Carly Fiorina, who, of course, ran for president of the United States, and I hope she does again. Welcome to the program, Carly. Carly.
So good to be with you, Glenn. It's good to be talking to you again, my friend. It's been too long.
It has been. So, Carly, I read your post in Medium, and I thought it was really, really good. And you talked about how you're tired of the media class opining on this, the politicians and Hollywood and everybody else. You said, a man who demeans, harasses, or abuses a woman has made a choice. It's a personal choice about how to behave. Another man who suspects, who knows, and fears, and looks away is also making a choice. It's now time for a man to choose. Are you going to laugh and look the other way? Are you going to josh that boys will be boys with a wink and a nod and a choice word here or there? Are you going to make it clear that while you love women, you actually don't think that they're capable about whatever you care about most? Are you going to keep quiet when you should speak up? You said that all men know And I have to tell you, and I might just be the most naive man in the world, and my wife says this to me all the time, I don't think most men are like this.
Oh, they're not. And I also said that in the post. Most men, the vast majority of men, are decent, respectful, honorable, and many, many, many men have lifted women up and helped them. I have been helped by many men in the course of my life. Most men are good men, but enough men aren't. And, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to your opening comments, and I agree with everything you said. And the thing that we need to understand about harassment and abuse and disrespect and assault, groping, all these things, it's an abuse of power.
Yeah.
And it's why, by the way, it's why you see now occasions of women abusing their power. You know, we have too many instances of female teachers abusing their power with underage boys, for example. Most of this is about men because men hold most of the power in the world still. But fundamentally, it's about an abuse of power. And if I have to say it, I have to agree with your wife. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that you've never witnessed this, but I'll take you at your word. But it goes on all
the time. You know, I have to tell you this. I worked at a radio station once. I have not, not that I can recall, I have not witnessed this. I worked at a radio station that was run by a woman, and she had hired a whole team of salespeople. And I have witnessed it the other way. I have witnessed that it was kind of a known thing that, you know, you use your beauty, you use your talents, and not in a, you know, not in a, you know, go have sex with people sort of way, but you go use your women wiles and charm the pants off of people, not literally. And so I've seen it that way. I have not seen it the other way, at least institutionalized.
Yeah. Well, look, let's be honest. It helps to be attractive whether you're a man or a woman.
Right.
It helps to be charming whether you're a man or a woman. I find it interesting that when it's a woman, it's about being wily. But when it's a man, it's just about being effective. I'm not sure this is ever institutionalized. I do think it's covered up. And I think sometimes we get so used to, I mean, look, there's no question that whether it was Roger Ailes, Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, if you dig into these stories, what you find out is that everybody knew. They may not have known the particulars, but they knew the generalities.
So here's a good example.
Generalities.
Here's a good example. Roger Ailes. It did not surprise me. I didn't know, but it didn't surprise me. Being around Roger Ailes enough, you were like, you know, I can see that.
Yeah, people suspected it. People understood what the culture was. And I'm not saying that the thing that I would say about these allegations is I take them seriously, and frankly, I believe them. When you have multiple instances of people coming forward and telling the same story, when you have instances in which people shared what had happened to them contemporaneously, when you have other witnesses around saying, well, yeah, you know, now that it's out, I'm really not surprised. Now, I happen to personally know Harvey Weinstein and knew Roger Ailes, and so neither one of those stories surprised me one little bit. But I do think sometimes we get kind of used to this sort of joking, joshing stuff in a way that that indicates something deeper. Let me just give you an example, Glenn, because you and I met while I was running for president, really.
Yeah. Yes.
When I was on a presidential debate stage, now let's bear in mind that I think there are 4 women who have run for president in the United States of America. There aren't very many men who've run for president. And I was on a presidential debate stage, and in the middle of that debate, I was telling the story of how I had come up as a secretary to. In the middle of that debate, a radio show host who's very well known and who shall remain nameless, because my point here is to make an example, tweeted out that I had just played the vagina card. Wow. male politicians pay their stories all the time. He got a little bit of pushback. And so he then went on to say, oh, I really like vaginas. Ask my wife. And the silence was deafening. Now, here's a guy who thinks it's okay to reduce me. I think most people agreed. I was pretty qualified and pretty articulate. Here's a guy who thinks it's okay to just reduce me to literally, pardon my the directness of my language here, but this is the language he used. He thought it was just okay to reduce me to my genitalia. And apparently most everybody else did also. And so that creates an environment where it's okay to be disrespectful, where it's okay to be disregarding. And I think we need a mindset shift, as I tried to say in that column, men and women, but particularly men, because men still have more authority and power than women, to say, you know what, we need women to fulfill their potential. We need women to be full participants, because we're all better off.
I think, you know, this is one of the things.
Man or woman has that chance.
This is one of the things that has been, crossing my mind for a long time. And that is, we keep trying to say it's my way or the highway, no matter what the difference is. Women, men, Republicans, Democrats, conservative, liberal. We need each other. We need each
That's
other.
Right.
And we're not understanding that. We're not coming together and saying, you put your best stuff on the table, I'll put my best stuff on the table, and let's see what we can do together. That's the way we should be, but we're not headed in that direction.
Well, that's right. And I think that, unfortunately, is a failure of leadership in many cases. What is a leader? A leader is somebody who understands that collaboration is critical. A leader is somebody who understands that character counts. A leader is someone who sees possibilities, particularly in other people. A leader is somebody who believes that every life is filled with potential and that we're all better off when each of us have the opportunity to fulfill our potential. And, you know, I do think that in this nation, sovereignty rests with the citizen. It's one of the unique qualities of our nation. Sovereignty rests with the citizen in this country. And so I think each of us, regardless of our position, and position never defines leadership, an individual defines leadership, regardless of our position, I think each of us as Americans, as citizens, need to lead more. Need to step up and be leaders and quit waiting for somebody else to do it for us, particularly our politicians. Quit waiting for people in positions of power and authority to lead for us, because too often they don't.
Let me,
this regard, we can make a difference in our workplaces and in our lives.
Let me take you one more place. I'm concerned that we are... just everybody. I mean, I used Garrison Keillor here a little while ago as an example of this. If what Garrison Keillor said happened, this is craziness. He said that he just patted a woman on the back. They were friends, blah, blah, blah. She later felt uncomfortable. I mean, that's not sexual harassment. If that happened the way he said it did. But we're painting everyone with the same brush. And at the same time we're doing that, and I think in many cases it's a really good thing, at the same time we're doing that, we are not holding the people in Washington, Donald Trump, Roy Moore, the Franken, and who's the other one? John Conyers. They're not out immediately. NBC hears something about Matt Lauer. He's out. These guys, they're not out. If they don't get out, if we have credible witnesses and they don't get out, aren't we just going to send a message that you can absolutely do anything, probably up and to and including killing someone, and we don't care?
Well, you said a couple things there. First of all, I agree with you that we can overreact and do stupid things. And then, of course, it diminishes the real problems
Correct.
That exist. So, for example, when, you know, the Obama administration overreacted to sexual assault on campus and basically said any woman that accuses a guy is going to be given the benefit of the doubt, even when the case doesn't hold water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's had a terrible impact on young men's lives in some cases. So, yes, we can overreact. And, yes, I think we are in danger of being willing to live with a double standard. Look, the politicians are so hypocritical here of both parties. They don't have a leg to stand on. If you look at the processes that Congress has put in place, Congress always grants itself an exception.
Yes.
Whether it's living with the health care rules they pass or whether it's sexual assault, they always grant themselves an exception. They are hypocrites in both parties. And part of what I believe we as citizens need to hold our politicians accountable for is, are you a person of character? It's one of the reasons people are so sick of politics and politicians. It so rarely has anything to do with leadership or problem solving or collaboration or character.
Carly Fiorina, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Great to talk with you.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll see
you
again.
Have a great day.
You bet. Bye-bye. Carly Fiorina, businesswoman, wife, mom, grandmother.
And tweet out her story from Medium at World of Stew, at Glenn Beck, in case you want to read it. She is I think you get there a balanced take, right? And not all men are evil. Hey, it's nice to hear that. It's also nice to hear that, you know, we're going to hold people accountable for the things that they do. So it's a good side of both of those. By the way, we're having another development in the Flynn story that we're going to need to get to in a moment. But the quick headline, and we'll have some more detail in a couple of moments. But the report is that Flynn's deal here, where he's pleading guilty. He is going to testify that Donald Trump directed him to talk to the Russians.
Oh, my gosh.
So we don't know what the details are on that yet, but it's obviously another big development in the story.
Oh, my gosh. Whew. This is going to be an interesting holiday. All right. Getting a good night's sleep. Easier said than done, especially if you hear a noise downstairs. So what do you do? Well, you can grab your gun, you can go look. If you live in California, you can go grab your baseball bat, unless they've told you that that's not good. Or you can just stay in bed and say to your wife, the alarm would go off, honey. You check the alarm. The alarm would go off. If you have SimpliSafe, that's what you do. SimpliSafe will help you sleep well at night. They have a complete arsenal. You order SimpliSafe online, and you can do it in a couple of minutes. You'll have it on your doorstep this week or, you know, tomorrow. You open the box, you plug it in, it will tell you exactly what to do, and your home is protected with professional home security. No tools, no hard wiring, nothing. It's all wireless. There's also no contracts or hidden fees. 24/7 professional monitoring is $14.99 a month. So you own the system. It's $14 to be able to have the monitoring so they can call police and everything else if an alarm goes off. And there's no contract. This is the best system out there. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now. Get a 10% discount when you order today, but only at SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
There is huge, huge breaking news now on Mike Flynn. He is prepared to testify. I want you to listen to this report from ABC.
He has promised full cooperation to the Mueller team. He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point. As well, we're told that Flynn made the decision to cooperate only in the last 24 hours, that he is distraught about the decision but feels he's doing the right thing for his country, that he was facing huge legal bills of more than $1 million, and that he said that finally he had to go ahead and do this for that reason. He expects to put his house on the market. He is facing serious financial problems.
So wait.
Multiple things there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot to take out of that. Number one, it's a report. from some a confidant. So we could, at this point, we don't know if he's going to testify against Trump.
Correct.
It's still early enough that this could be completely wrong, right? Number one. Number two, at the end, you see him throwing in there, this is because
of money.
He's saying he's being beat up by so much by legal bills. So he has to sell his house. And is he, people I think will say he's being forced into this because he can't deal with his world financially. In addition to that, what was not mentioned in the report, that his son was in danger of being charged. And there are rumors that this is, you know, he's giving in for that reason. However,
but why would you also say I'm doing it because I believe it's right for the country?
Right. I think he's
really a bizarre statement.
Yeah. I think if you're a skeptic of Flynn. And I don't think, you know, we've said we're not fans of Flynn at all.
At all.
We have to see what he has to say. We don't know what his testimony is yet. We don't know what he's going to say. So there's a lot to be judged.
No, he's a bad guy.
But
he's a bad guy.
This is a big development in that this is a very close Trump confidant that has now turned against him, according to this report, if it's accurate. And it is a big turn in this case.
So we have a way for you to solve this and have still a good holiday with your family when we come back.
Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
He has promised full cooperation to the Mueller team. He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point. As well, we're told that Flynn made the decision to cooperate only in the last 24 hours, that he is distraught about the decision, but feels he's doing the right thing for his country, that he was facing huge legal bills of more than $1 million, and that he said that finally he had to go ahead and do this for that reason. He expects to put his house on the market. He is facing serious financial problems.
That's an interesting sideline. Okay, so let's have this conversation first. So he's pleaded guilty today. The FBI charged him with lying to the FBI. The White House immediately came out and said, of course, he lied to Vice President Trump Pence. That's why we fired him. He's a liar. But what he said, what they charged him with lying about was the sanctions on Russia. Did you talk to Russia about the sanctions? He said no. You didn't talk about a deal that, you know, you guys would work out. No. That's what he lied to Pence about. And that's what he lied to the FBI about. The FBI now has proof that he did do that. So he says, OK, I'll plead guilty on this. But now the story is, an hour after he pleads guilty, now the story is, he's not only pleading guilty, he's going to turn evidence over and testify against Donald Trump, his children, and the campaign for ordering him to talk to the Russians about the sanctions. Now, this fits, if you look at a timeline, this fits with how, remember, during the GOP convention, how all of a sudden the campaign didn't want to change anything, but they changed the one plank, and it was about Russia. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, what the hell is that all about? So the question is that you have to ask yourself, not whether or not Donald Trump did it or not, because he's already said he hasn't done this. The question you have to ask yourself right now and answer it, does it matter if he did? Does it matter if he told Flynn and others, I need you to talk to them about a deal. I need you to talk to them about the sanctions. They went out and talked to the Russians. And when asked about it, Donald Trump said, no, I never did that. Nobody ever did that. Oh, my gosh, he's just acting on his own. Does it matter if he was in bed with the Russians? The answer for me is clearly yes. You have to be able to trust the president of the United States, and you also do not want the president of the United States doing backroom deals. I mean, we would have gone crazy. Remember when when what's his name said to President Obama, I will tell Vladimir. And all he said was, I need more time. After the election, I can help more.
Yeah, he said that to the Russian
Medvedev. Prime Minister. Yeah. I'll pass on to Vladimir your request. And we went nuts. What are they doing? What are they doing? Is he doing backroom deals with the Russians? So I'm consistent. Yeah, I don't want a president making backroom deals. I want a president to tell us the truth. So does it matter?
I'm a yes on that.
Yeah, I'm going to be a strong yes on that too. Mm-hmm. Why, Pat? I don't know. Why you, though?
Yeah, I mean, normally I'm on the side of the Russians, but today... Yeah,
today you're not. Okay, so that is the first thing you have to do is, does it matter? To me, it does. Now, the next thing is, what is Flynn doing here?
Sounds like he's protecting his butt, right? He's trying to save his financial life.
Yeah,
and maybe they cut some kind of deal with him where you roll over on Trump and we can make this go away for you.
Well, that's clear.
Sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's clear.
Well, he still did plead guilty, right?
He's going to.
Yeah, he's saving his own butt in exchange for telling them something they want to hear about Trump. It's just is that something true or not?
So the FBI has got to know that, you can't believe a liar. Can't believe a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's already lied. He lied to the White House. He lied to Pence. Mm-hmm. He lied to the FBI. Why would we take his word now that this is what Trump said to save his own skin? So they would have to know that. He would have had to give them evidence of something else that proves that he's not lying.
Right, because if it was just his word, you would think that probably wouldn't be enough.
No.
Are there emails? Are there phone records? Are there recorded conversations?
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. It would be ridiculous to believe.
Well, we shouldn't brush it off. This is a high-level campaign and a confidant, a level campaign, cabinet confidant of Trump. I mean, the fact that he is going to say things, in theory, if this report is accurate, that are damaging to Trump is not something we should just blow off. It can't just be that. When we were saying Michael Flynn was not
a trustworthy, honorable
guy that should be appointed to this role.
Mm-hmm.
What did people say to us? They said, oh, you don't know anything about Trump. Trump knows this guy. You're off base. When Trump dismissed him, we said, well, now Trump agrees with us, right? Like that, mm-hmm. that this guy is not an honorable guy. But Trump had a weird he tried to go halfway with that.
Yeah.
Dismissed him, but then continued to sort of defend him and say he was mm-hmm. a really good guy and everything else. Now the people who believed Flynn was a good guy, who believed he was a good appointee at the time,
and who believed Donald Trump when he dismissed him but said, hey, he's a really good guy,
do they now turn on Flynn? Like, is now Flynn the bad guy the entire time?
Because here's my prediction. Flynn will not be the bad guy. Flynn was just sending out a flare trying to say, hey, look, they got me, and there's no way out. I'm just doing this because they've got me. Big state, deep state has me. And so I'm just telling you, but don't believe me. I think that's what they'll say. Look, he said in his, because it is a weird statement. He said in his statement, you know, I think I'm doing the right thing for the country. And I am broke. I mean, I got
I'm losing my house.
I'm losing my house.
I'm looking at another million bucks in attorney's fees.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can let him off the hook with this, though. If he does testify against Trump, that's not going to sit well with Trump supporters. Any kind of criticism of Trump doesn't sit well with Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So
I think
they'll turn on Flynn. I really think they'll turn. This shows you shouldn't be putting Democrats in your administration either.
Yeah.
They're going to turn on you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we said that at the time. I think I could go through. I could come up with almost exclusively Republicans and maybe some Libertarians that I could put into my cabinet. Don't mm-hmm. think I need to name one Democrat.
You don't need to.
Don't think I need to.
Nope.
And we were. Yeah.
They certainly don't.
And especially Michael Flynn. He's just a bad guy. Yes. Just a bad guy.
Yeah. And a lot of this too. The other part of this, mm-hmm. other than the money and the house and all these things, the pressure was coming against Michael Flynn Jr., who is kind of well known on Twitter for tweeting kind of InfoWars-esque conspiracy theories. But no one knows exactly what he was doing, as he was part of the transition team, and they got rid of him very early as well. So he may have been protecting his son.
The biggest thing you have to do is slow down. Let's not deem what Michael Flynn has to say as detrimental to Trump or, you know, good for Trump. We don't know. This is all speculation. We have no idea what's going to happen and what the FBI has. What we have to decide right now is, does it matter if he says this and it's credible and they have credible evidence? Does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And if they have credible evidence, then you're going to have to make a decision because it matters. That's the only thing. Because right now, you know, everybody's going to pick sides on what? You don't have, and we don't have anything. We have nothing more than we had yesterday, other than, yeah, well, they did it. They flipped him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that mean? I don't know. The one thing that we do have that we can talk about is Kate Steinle. This, Pat, did you see the verdict in this case in San Francisco?
Unbelievable. Not guilty on every charge?
I couldn't believe it.
Not guilty on every charge. Well, I think they got him a jaywalking fine.
Yeah. They got him on...
He didn't cross at the crosswalk when he was trying to escape after he murdered an American citizen.
They got him on illegal possession of a firearm. Right. Which he said he just picked up.
He just found it on the pier, and it just happened to be in his way when he was walking down the pier, and then it just happened to go off without him touching it. Without touching the trigger, anyway. I mean, he claims it just went off. That happens all the time, doesn't it?
How many times does that happen?
Oh, three times to me last week alone.
Guns are known to do that.
I will say this. There's pretty hardcore evidence that it ricocheted.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he wasn't necessarily pointing at her, but you got to go at least manslaughter, don't you?
Manslaughter.
This guy gets out of... Everything. He's been deported five times, back five times.
He is Mexico's Houdini.
Yeah. Yeah, this is despicable. And it's interesting, though. The most interesting takeaway on this, I think, is the reaction of Kate Steinle's family. Jim Steinle said, there's no room in our hearts. There's just no room in us for anger. We didn't waste any time on that. We're not doing that.
Mm.
We're heartbroken, and there's no room for anger. We're just not. And so they don't hate the guy. They've forgiven him. We could all learn a lot from that, I think. And the brother said, other than that, we blame the city of San Francisco just as much as the shooter because they encourage this and they allow this. And this shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have been here in order to kill her. Whether it was an accident or not, he shouldn't have been here.
And like a lot of times these things boil down to, oh, well, we have to be give immigrants chances and these things are minor crimes and crossing the border is not a big deal.
Man.
The Cates Law is a really good answer to this, right? If someone crosses and you send back them, we're just saying don't try it again, right? Like, just don't do it. If you do it again, you're going to get a legitimate punishment. Just don't do it again. We're going to give you essentially, I mean, Kate's Law in a way is amnesty. We're letting you come across the border and you know what? We'll just send you back the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to charge you. We're not going to put you in jail. We're not going to put you in prison. But if you come back again, come on. We're going to have to do something about it. That is not a hateful thing. We're giving multiple chances.
Yeah.
And even that can't even get a vote from Republicans.
And by the way, it's not even saying we're going to send back them. I love that quote. We're not even saying that we're going to send you back because you crossed the border. We're going to send you back if you've committed a crime. We're going to send you back.
Mm-hmm.
If you commit a crime, we're going to send you back. We're not going to put you in jail. Just go away. And we're just going to say, oops. I mean, that's amazing. Can you imagine if it was your first time and you go into Tiffany's and you're robbing Tiffany's and Tiffany's, you know, the police arrive and they come and you're like, okay, I did it.
You got me.
They're like, okay, just give us all the stuff.
But I don't have a lot of money and I'm trying to support my family. I needed to steal from you.
Right. And don't, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just don't steal from Tiffany's again.
Don't do it again.
Can you imagine that?
And then you do it, and then they tell you the same thing again.
I know. You know what? We can't even ask if you've been at Tiffany's before.
Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up in just a few moments here on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. I hope he will be talking about the cookies he brought in. which each bite contains 3 sticks of butter.
Do not leave me out of the refrigerator, because I will melt.
So good. I can't even remember. His wife made cookies, and they're freaking amazing. I've gained 25 pounds. I don't even know what you guys were talking about for half of that segment. I was just eating cookies.
I hate this time of year because it's so good. When you book your next business trip, make sure you use Upside.com, and here's why. First, they're going to give you 2 of the best gifts anyone will give you this holiday season. One is a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. The second one is a better business travel experience. You know, the people who do business trip and the salespeople that are flying everywhere, everybody treats you like crap. There's no customer service. Wouldn't you like to be like an American Express Black Card? Wouldn't you like to have that Upside Black Card where there's a team that's working hard 24/7 to make sure that everything on your trip, your flight, your hotel, your rental car, they all go off without a hitch? They're available, you know, chat, phone, email. Something goes wrong and those people are monitoring that trip. So when you're sitting on the plane and you're like, I am not going to make this connection, you get off the plane and they're like, we've already figured this out. We were watching the weather. We understand. We got it. You're on the next flight. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be nice? That's what you get from Upside. Nobody else is offering that to you. Upside, great, outrageous prices on flights, hotels, and rental cars. They're the best. So book your first business trip on Upside.com/Beck, and you get the free Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, and you're going to get a great business trip with all those people working behind the scenes to make sure you're there for the meeting and you're back home with your kids as fast as you can. It's Upside.com/Beck. Call them now. Claim your wireless headphones from Bose just for trying. Minimum purchases required. See site for complete details. It's Upside.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Everybody has to go to glenbeck.com today and see the truck of my dreams. We talked to the guy who built it. It's like $300,000. I don't think there's a market for a $300,000 truck.
That's why he said he was going to keep it, right?
Yeah, he's keeping it. Took him 2.5 years to make. Just watch the video. You will drool all day. It's a 1972 Chevy that didn't exist. I mean, he made it up. And it's just a great, I mean, you look at the engine, it is just an amazing thing. So, look that up. Also
the Deep State series is up, at theblaze.com/TV. You can watch all 4 chalkboards from this week going through what does the deep state actually mean in the United States.
This is actually really important, especially with the Flynn thing, because I think you're going to hear more about deep state in the next few weeks. You know, the deep state got to him. What is the deep state? There's 2 kinds. We have 1 kind, and it can be stopped, but you need to know what it is. You can find it at The Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck.